Mark, thanks for taking some time here. What can you tell us about the nature of the injury and what was your impression of the play itself?
I'm very, very lucky that it wasn't worse than it was. Initially I thought, I tore my Achilles and I was done for 6 months. So I was, I definitely was in a dark place for the, it was probably only 5 minutes before I found it. It wasn't anything to do with my Achilles. But I was lucky to be able to get some answers, got a second opinion and, got some more answers. So, I'm not going to give you the nature of the injury just cause I don't have to, but, in terms of the hit, obviously there was a lot of stuff going around when it first happened, and it was kind of a whirlwind. And obviously, in my mind, it was all about, getting answers and making sure, that I was taken care of and, my body was healthy and, I didn't need surgery or any of that stuff. So that was a bit of a tough time for me, but, I think in terms of the hit, it was, I think the first thing, he was a little out of control, and he did reach out to me and, talk to me about it. And, I think he was out of control. He tried to get a piece of me and, obviously I wish that didn't happen and I would have been playing in the rest of that series, but, that's the way hockey is. But, I'm happy and I'm very, very thankful that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And, that I'm on the mend now and I'll be, good as new soon. So, that's kind of the only thing that's been on my mind is that I'm very thankful it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
How tough was that mentally? I mean, you worked 4.5 months, you came back with such a, in vigor, ready to play again and to have it taken away after 3 shifts. I mean, how did you deal with that mentally?
Yeah, it sucked. There's definitely, some times where I was pretty down on myself and, to work that hard, but, it's kind of the person I am. It wasn't, I tried to look at it positively. I didn't go through, the training and skating because I had to. I did it because I want to, and I want to play hockey, and that's what I enjoy doing. So, whether it was, doing the workouts, at home, or going for a rollerblade, or skating with OT, or wherever it was, I did that out of the enjoyment of the game. So, it didn't take away from all the work that I put in, because I know that work is only going to benefit me in the future and in the rest of my career. And obviously, it sucked not being able to be on the ice and help out my teammates, and not having that control is really tough. It was really tough on me, and that was the thing that hit me the most. But in terms of all the training that went into it, that's all enjoyment for me.
Thank you.
Go with Sarah Orleski from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Mark. So just to be clear, you don't feel it was a dirty hit, or that it was, sorry, that it was intentional. Let me put it that.
If someone is on the ice trying to cut someone with their skate, I don't think Matt was trying to do that. The way I kind of look at it was kind of like, the last second I turned up and it was kind of like a knee on knee type scenario, I thought. The one thing I know he talked about, he was out of control. He was skating too fast, and he took ownership of that. And, I know for me as a hockey player, I work every single day at being in control of where I am on the ice and the space around me. And, that's what I work on every single day in hockey. And, I think that's one of those things that is just a learning curve, for everyone. You try to be in control, all the time. And, I think I kind of look at it as a knee on knee scenario. Obviously, that's just the way the game works. It's a fast moving game, but, at the end, like what I said earlier, I'm just thankful it wasn't as serious as it could have been. I had a lot of bad thoughts go through my mind that I was going to be out for 6 months and I was going to, my career could be over. So that's the, that was tough on me. And that was probably the worst part of it was the anticipation of actually getting some answers. But, all I can do is thank God that I'm on the mend and, I didn't need surgery and, I'll be back better as ever.
When you say that be back, are you optimistic then that whenever hockey does resume for next season, whether that be December or beyond, that you would be ready to go at that point? You're not looking at this as being a longer term for recovery?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, I'm lucky I got a good team around me, and I, you know, I got some good doctors around me that, you know, gave me some good answers and some, you know, some positive answers. So, you know, obviously it sucked I couldn't play, and I'm, you know, I'm not really able to do much right now, but, you know, I'm definitely going to be back to 100% in the near future. And, you know, obviously that's very lucky, you know, from what it could have been to what it is. I'm very lucky, and I'll be good as new, you know, very soon.
All right, we'll go with Kelly Moore next. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks very much. Mark, you talked about all the work you put in physically to be ready to play. I'm just wondering if it entered into your mind all the work that you put in on the negotiating committee too. Did you feel a little unlucky because of the role you helped play in getting hockey on the ice, and then to have this happen to you?
Not really, to be honest. You know, all, you know, that's just being a part of the union and wanting to bring hockey back and being able to, you know, to grow this game. And you know, in terms of, you know, me not getting to play, that's kind of the way it is. You know, God's got a plan for everything, so you just gotta, you know, take it in stride. And you know, that was my duty that I did for the NHLPA and the NHL to get the game back and running, and you know, get all the logistics and figure out the best way to get playoff hockey going. And that's, you know, that's sometimes you just gotta, you know, put your own individual needs behind others. And you know, obviously I'm very happy that hockey's back on, and you know, that I even got to play three shifts rather than there not even be a playoff. So you know, that's the lucky part.
And how impressed are you with how well things have gone to this point? I know we're just starting the actual playoffs now, but so far, is it maybe even better than what you could have expected?
I think it was, you know, especially from what I saw in Edmonton, it was so professionally done. You know, they did such a great job with the bubble and the hotels and everything. You know, I'd like to thank the NHLPA, you know, every single person that put in work into, you know, making that happen. You know, I tried to thank as many people in the bubble as I could, because you know what they did was so amazing, and to be able to get it logistically all working out so perfectly was done so well. And you know, they did an amazing job at it, and I was very, very impressed when we got there to right when we left of how professionally done it was and how easy they made it on all the players.
Okay, we'll go with Brian Munns from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Munzie.
Mark, having a chance, unfortunately, then to watch the last few games of the series, just your kind of impressions on how it played out and what you saw from both teams.
You know, obviously game two, you know, we came out hard, and, you know, a lot of guys stepped up, and, you know, it's tough when you lose three guys, you know, no matter their stature and that's in your lineup, it's tough to do that. And a lot of guys stepped up and worked hard, and I think that was kind of the resiliency of our team all season. You know, from the start of the year with, you know, Buff and, you know, Brian Little going down, you know, we had guys step up over and over and over, and you know, it just showed the character that we had in our room this year. And you know, guys that, you know, kept working on their game to, you know, when they got put in the lineup, they were ready to succeed. And I think you know, a lot of guys stepped up and played really hard, and you know, that's all you can ask. You know, when you leave it all on the ice, that's all you can do. And you know, the guys battled hard right till the end.
I know you mentioned to Sarah that obviously you'll be ready to go come December when the league is expected to resume. So what's your kind of mindset here now on your timeline? Do you have a guesstimation as to when you'll get back on the ice, being a guy that loves being on the ice as much as you do?
Yeah, I think you know, obviously because of the nature of the injury, you know, I probably won't be on the ice for a little bit, but in terms of, you know, getting back to a little bit of normalcy and in my regular life and being able to get in the gym and stuff like that, it's kind of one of those things that you just have to take it, you know, day by day. You wake up and you see how you feel, and you know, getting all the, you know, all the stability and you know, mobility, you know, back in my body and being able to be, you know, back to 100%. I think that's the whole thing, is it's kind of, it's one of those things where you take it day by day and take it week by week and see how you feel. And, you know, for me, you know, I got a great team around me, in Waterloo, and, you know, being able to, you know, get my body back in working order and, you know, be back living my normal off season life very soon. And, you know, I obviously thank all the people that are around me that are, you know, doing the treatment and, you know, in the gym and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm excited to get back to that soon. And every day you wake up and, you know, it feels better and better and better every day. And that's all I can you know, be thankful for.
Thank you.
We'll go with Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Mark. You say Matthew Tkachuk reached out to you, and how did that go? How's your relationship going to be with him going forward? Do you forgive easily, or will that be a bit strained?
I'm a guy that forgives pretty easily. You know, I definitely can hold a grudge once in a while if something bad happens. But you know, the way my parents raised me is you forgive everyone, and that's all you can do. You know, you wish the best in every person, and you know, for me, it's not going to affect my day-to-day lifestyle. You know, Matt's a great hockey player and you know, has a ton of work ethic. I know him from Gary Roberts, and, you know, obviously, you know, I have no hard feelings. Obviously I wish it never happened. I played in the rest of that series, but there's nothing you can do about that now. You know, all I can do is, you know, wish everyone the best and, you know, hope that everyone stays, you know, safe and healthy. And, you know, that's kind of the only thoughts on my mind. But, you know, in my mind, I'm just trying to get better and trying to, you know, get my body back to 100%, and that's all I can worry about.
How will you look back at this crazy year? And, you know, does part of you think, hey, it's going to be this way again for another season?
It's one of those things that it's a new experience for all of us. So, you know, the biggest thing for me is, you know, you went through something that you know, not a lot of people have gone through, and, you know, to get through something like this is, you know, takes a lot of willpower and takes a lot of strength. And, you know, anytime you go through adversity like that, you're only going to be stronger on the back end of it. And, you know, that's kind of the way I've taken it, you know, right from day one of the pandemic, right when our season went down, you know, is, you know, think about it positively and, you know, try to do what you can do to enjoy life and, you know, enjoy the ones around you. And that's kind of been the only focus on my mind, is just try to stay positive, try to know that you're only going to be stronger, you know, after it's all done. And, you know, that's kind of been my mentality through it all.
Okay, we'll go with Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Mark, 2 years ago, you guys go on that long run, and I'm sure there was a lot of excitement, you know, mixed with disappointment at the end of that. And last year, I think it's probably more disappointment when you go out in that first round. How will you look back on this year?
It's going to be a year that, you know, I think everyone's going to remember for a long, long time. And, you know, sadly, the hockey season is the one thing that's kind of going to be, you know, put to the back burner, because, you know, it ended so abruptly, and then, you know, you take 4 months off, and then you're back into the, you know, the play-in series. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's just you're gonna look at it that, you know, you went through a lot, you know, and for a guy like me, it's every single year, you just gotta continue to work on your game and work hard and try to become the best player you can become. And from there, there's not much else you control, you know, in terms of the pandemic, in terms of, you know, the amount of things that happened to our team with Buff and Litz and, you know, the injuries that we had this season. You know, it's one of those things that you just have to, you know, that's the way our world works, and you have to look positively on it and get through it. And, you know, for me, I just want to, you know, once I'm back and skating, I'll, you know, continue to work on my game and continue to try to become a better hockey player for next season, be a better hockey player for my hockey team. And, you know, that's all you can do.
Your team would have been viewed going into last season as, you know, one of the elite teams in the league. How far away do you feel that your team is right now from that elite competitor status? And what do you think the team needs to do to get better and get back there?
Well, yeah, like, you know, when we lost as many guys as we lost from, you know, that team, you know, I know, you know, even some of my buddies, we've had that conversation, you know, about, you know, the amount of guys that aren't with us that were on part of that team. You know, it's a pretty drastic change, and a lot of, you know, game breaking players. You know, when you don't have, you know, Buff and Troops and Mizey and Benny on your back end, it's a totally different back end. But, you know, that's where guys need to step up. Like, you know, you saw Neil Pionk stepped in and, you know, played amazing all year. And, you know, you need young guys, you need the Billy Heinolas of the world, the Sandbergs of the world, you know, and then you need, you know, guys that are in the minors to step up into those key roles. And, you know, that doesn't come easily. And I think, you know, I think back to when I was younger, you know, the amount of work that you have to put in to make that step is a big step. And, you know, that's where, you know, you just hope that all those guys, you know, take this off season, this weird off season, and continue to work on their games and continue to, you know, get stronger and get in the gym and, you know, work on their games, you know, every day to be able to make that step to the NHL and make the Winnipeg Jets a better team.
Go with Carter Brooks next. Go ahead, Carter.
Hey, Mark. Just adding a little bit more to what Kelly asked you earlier, given your role on the return to play committee, how impressed were you with the way that things actually did shape up living in the Hub City and the way that you see things moving forward, obviously tuning in over the next few months, watching games unfold?
Yeah, it's, I thought it was an amazing setup. They did a great job at making, making it so easy on us as players to, you know, be able to have food and different varieties of food and, you know, a lounge for our team to hang out in and, you know, the little, like, you know, courtyard area in front of the rink that you could, you know, just hang out and shoot hoops or, you know, watch the game on like the big screen out there. Like they did a great job at doing all that. And, you know, obviously when you go to all the way to the end, it's a long time, you know, being in that bubble, but, you know, when you're fighting for the Stanley Cup, you know, there's no other better reason in this world to, you know, be in this bubble than, you know, fighting for a Stanley Cup and being able to have the chance to lift that trophy is, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be awesome to watch. I'll obviously be tuning in every night, every day, pretty much, to watch all the games. So it's, you know, it's going to be exciting to see. And it's also gonna be exciting to, you know, talk to guys that are still in the bubble and see how they're doing and how they're dealing with it. And, you know, I know the NHL has done a great job at trying to make it the easiest on its players. And I'm sure it's just going to continue to help guys out more and more as this, you know, playoffs goes on.
Did it bring you back to a little bit of a minor hockey tournament feel in that hotel situation, running into people in the elevators or the hallways?
Yeah, it was really strange. You know, I think it also gave you a chance to, you know, connect with some guys that you haven't seen in a while. I know, I ran into Tyler Myers a lot and obviously spent a lot of time with him over the years. And, you know, a guy that I adore. He's one of the nicest guys out there and a guy that, you know, I definitely wish the best for. But it was one of those, you know, things. It was cool to, you know, connect with those friends that you used to play with or you knew from minor hockey or you played a World Juniors with or whatever. It was cool to see that. And, you know, it was a different thing, a different experience. Like this whole last 5 months it's a new experience that you haven't dealt with in a long time. And, you know, you gotta look at it in a positive manner and enjoy it and put a smile on your face and enjoy what's happening and enjoy fighting for the Stanley Cup.
Alrighty, we'll go with Murad Ditesh from The Athletic. If anybody else has any more questions, please raise your hand again. Go ahead, Murad.
Hi, Mark. Just following up on that concept of a new experience. And I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like for a hockey player, each regular season, there's usually things that you can count on, and the rhythm is usually the same. And was this the first time in a while you've had to really do something or go through something this brand new, and what did you learn through it?
You know, a lot. I think the biggest thing is, you know, what I learned was just the enjoyment of the game, you know, bringing you back to kind of your childhood days. You know, it was such a different experience through those 4 months of, you know, you take a few weeks off or whatever. Obviously no rinks are open and you're not able to do anything. And then all of a sudden you're like, I just miss having like a stick in my hand and being able to, you know, enjoy that side of things. So that was a cool thing. So I got rollerblades and went rollerblading or, you know, did workouts. And I think, you know, and then you go into a bubble and it's a totally different experience again. And then you learn that, you know, you don't need to be, you know, flying all over the place and staying in, you know, a different hotel every night or, you know, whatever that is that, you know, going on in a regular season or regular playoff. you know, to play hockey. You know, it brings you back to, you know, the pure essence of, you know, getting your adrenaline going. You know, there's no fans. It's a different playing experience, but it, you know, you still feel that competitive, you know, adrenaline going through your veins. And I think, you know, that's the fun about hockey. That's funny. The fun about sports. That's the fun part about watching the sports on TV now, is that, you know, there are no fans, but you're still watching, you know, the best athletes in the world compete for, you know, the ultimate prize of winning their championship. And, you know, I think that's the thing I've taken out of it, is just, it's a cool experience. And, you know, you get a chance to win the Stanley Cup or NBA or MLB, whatever it is, you have the opportunity to, you know, create a legacy for yourself. And I think that's a pretty cool thing.
You're framing things so positively and in such a I don't know what the word is, but in a really positive light. And you mentioned that right at the beginning, after your injury, you started in a dark place when you weren't sure how long things would go. Who do you turn to? Where do you look? Where do you find? What is the journey from the initial dark place to the perspective and almost wisdom on it that you have now?
I turn to a lot of people. You know, I think first, you know, you turn to, you know, the people around you. You know, you turn to, you know, your loved ones. You know, my mom and dad obviously are, you know, number one and two that I turn to. And, you know, I know my mom, you know, she had to take a walk when it happened, because she obviously was thinking the worst as well. You know, you turn to, you know, the people that you love most in your life. You know, I turned to, you know, even our chaplain, Lauren Coral, you know, a little bit, you know, when you're going through, when you're thinking about the worst and, you know, you get negative, you know, you gotta turn around and, you know, look at it in a different light. And, you know, God's got a plan for everything. So, you know, I just had to, you know, turn my mentality around and know that, you know, everything was going to be okay. And, you know, everything ended up being okay. I didn't need surgery. It wasn't going to be a long-term thing. I got really, really lucky. And, you know, and that's when you have to start looking at things, and you can start speculating and thinking, oh, what if this? And then, you know, when I finally got in the mode where, you know, I knew where I was and I knew that there was going to be a plan and I was going to be fine. You know, and then of course I still rely on my, you know, all my loved ones to, you know, talk to and, you know, bounce ideas off of. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have, you know, we had ARTs and, in the bubble, who, you know, I was able to get some acupuncture and some, you know, soft tissue work from Melissa Givelos, who I've known for like 10 years. You know, I actually had an injury working out like 5 years ago, and she was the one that treated me for it right away. And, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to look at. You have to look at the, you know, the bigger picture and not look at it so, you know, through such a, you know, a fine, you know, through a or microscope, and just, you know, look at it from a broader sense of things and say, hey, you know what, you know, it sucks right now, but I'm going to be better one day, and I'm only going to be better for it. And, you know, I think I'm just lucky I have the people around me that I do to lean on. And, you know, that's why I've, you know, been able to look at things from such a positive light through such a dark time.
Go with Paul Edmonds from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Paulie.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark, for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Two questions for you. Are you going to keep an eye on the balance of the Stanley Cup playoffs? And if you are, which we probably know that you will, what are you looking for? Are you looking at it as a fan perspective, or are you looking at players or things, how you can get better from what you see from other players?
I think everything. You know, first and foremost, is just for enjoyment, just to watch it and, you know, see these teams battle in such a weird circumstance. You know, and then obviously, you know, when you watch any game, you see the star players and you see certain things they do, and, you know, something might pop out to me and you know, I'll think about it for when I get back on the ice and get a stick in my hands and start to, you know, play with some things. So, you know, it's kind of all of the above. It's enjoyment, it's learning. And, you know, I think that's the, you know, Dale Hawerchuk told me this my first year with him. He said, you know, watching the NHL is an education. It's class, and it's a school class on its own. You can learn from the best players in the world every single day. And you know, I've taken that to heart ever since he told me that. And, you know, now that's like maybe 12 years ago. So you know, obviously I'm thankful for that lesson that long ago, and I still have that today.
And my follow-up is, 2 years in a row that you've been eliminated in the first round, if you will, what do you think of your team? Is it still a good foundation here? Are there the pieces here to win going forward for next year?
You know, I think obviously there's a lot of question marks come, you know, free agency time. You know, we got, you know, a lot of guys up for deals. So it's a tough one. You know, we have some great players on our team and we have a great foundation, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen until, you know, free agency time hits. And, you know, obviously, like what I said before, we're a totally different team from the team that we went to the, you know, conference finals in, but, it doesn't mean we're still far off. I mean, you can see, you know, any team can win in this league, and, you know, you just gotta, you know, hope that, you know, guys come back, you know, bigger, faster, stronger next year and are able to step into some big roles. And, you know, hopefully in free agency, we can get some, you know, good pieces as well. And, you know, if I was the GM, I'd give you some more answers, but, I'm not. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll go with, Kelly Moore, to finish things off. Go ahead, Kelly.
Mark, thank you for being so gracious with your time. And just maybe to follow up a little bit more on Paul and his question, yeah, we're pretty sure you're going to be watching. So knowing the hockey fan and aficionado you are, if you had to bet on a team going far, I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner because it's fluid, but who do you like as a potential favorite and who do you like as a potential dark horse from what you have seen going into the start of the playoffs?
You know, I think I like Philly. You know, watching their games throughout the, you know, even the first exhibition game to their 3-round robin games, obviously they're a little different in magnitude. There's, you know, obviously every team is still trying to find their stride. But I liked their game. They played solid with Carter Hart and Nett playing well. I think they're going to be a tough team to beat. You know, but they got a lot of depth up front, a lot of guys that kind of do everything. And I think their back end is very underrated for how good they are. So I like them, you know, from watching them in you know, their first four games of this thing, they looked like they had the least amount of rust. And they look well prepared and ready to go. So, I like them. And a dark horse, I think Vancouver, you know, when we played them, they looked like they had a little bit of rust on them. And then even their first game against Minnesota, you could tell that rust was still there. And then it's almost like they, you know, they're starting to find their rhythm. And I think that's the biggest thing about this tournament is, you know, when you don't do anything for 4 months, there's going to be weird things that happen. There's going to be, you know, that rust is all of a sudden going to come off. The more you play, the more that you get on the ice, the more that you practice, the more that you get in the rhythm of things, the more guys are going to get back to normal. And I think, you know, I think Vancouver could be a dark horse.